Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's just take a moment. And we this past week, some were here Friday. I know Pastor Greg shared. We had a praise service up in Pennsylvania. But Pastor Greg was teaching or sharing a little bit on the crucifixion. I don't think some of us have even grasped the depths of what Jesus endured. I know in Isaiah 52, it says that his visage was so marred, some of the translations say he didn't even look human. He was so disfigured. He became sin for mankind. And so the weight of that we can see in Scripture. We can see the agony that he endured in the garden. The very thought. I don't think it was the separation that he may have endured for 3 days and three nights. It was the very agony and thought that he would become what? Sin. That Satan would become his master. That he would now have to submit to the one that he had confronted his entire earth walk. I mean, I can't even imagine that. That's why it says he sweat as it was drops like blood. So here he comes, and now he has endured this. And now when we see on the cross, he declared these words, "It is finished." What was finished? The old covenant was finished. And now we can see that the high priesthood was finished. All of that was finished now. The sacrifice of blood and bulls and goats and the sprinkling of blood in the Holy of Holies. And the curtain, the veil was rent from top to bottom. So now all of a sudden here, what? This old covenant has finished. It is finished. And now what? Now this temple is not the place where Jehovah resides. So there's a new covenant that's going to be established. And we can see this. And now we see that what? Jesus, when he arose, he died as the Lamb of God. But he arose as what? The high priest. He's now the eternal high priest. He's the one that brought his blood and deposited into the Holy of Holies. The where? The heavenly Holy of Holies. Isn't this exciting? It's exciting to me. He's now what? The mediator between God and man. Man was separated, but now this sacrifice has legally put Jesus as the high priest and the mediator. So now what? Man can approach God legally. Not just for that time and past, but every man, woman, and child that will ever be born. Sin has been paid for. Sickness has been paid for. Every man has a legal right to approach God. Every man's sin has been paid for. This is the exciting thing. That in other words, some of the scriptures, it says that their account has been, in other words, what does it say in the scripture that their sins have been what? Blotted out. I'll get there in a moment. I'm just sharing from my heart. But every man's account has been cleared. You know, in other words, some of us have had debts. Anybody ever have debts? Boy, I had a lot of debts. I went through a period of life, I almost had to file bankruptcy. But I didn't. I paid it off. Supernaturally, God helped. And there were some, they called and said, "Your account's wiped clear." You don't know what that feels like if you've ever gone through it. And somebody calls and says, "Don't worry about it, it's cleared." Like it never existed. Oh boy, you shout hallelujah. Now think about that. Some of us, we don't even realize that your sin account, that which you were indebted to do what? Pay. If he didn't go, you would have had to go. You would have had to pay the debt of sin. He did. That means when he rose from the dead, that you are never obligated to pay the debt of sin. It's been paid for. It's been paid for. That's why when it says, if any man sin, wasn't that 1 John? Where it says, 1 John, if we sin, if we confess our sins, he's what? Faithful and what? Just. To do what? Forgive us. And do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How's that possible? He took it. And he paid for it. It's been paid. Isn't that exciting? So we can see from Scripture that he was justified. When he was raised from the dead, the Scripture says he was justified in 1 Timothy. He was justified, says God was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and then what? Received up into glory. And then of 1 Peter, it says that he was also quickened by his spirit. He was the what? The firstborn from the dead. You know, there's so many scriptures that confirm that he was the firstborn. Romans 8:29, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Colossians 1:18 says he's the firstborn. He says he is the head of the body. He's the head of the body, the church, who is the what? The beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Glory to God. So he's the firstborn. What does that mean? If he's the firstborn, you're the what? The millionth, 2 millionth, 10 millionth, whoever you are. He's the first. But we're born of him. Glory to God. You know what's exciting about resurrection? You know, think about some of the things. Some of us, we think about it in one way. But when he threw off and he spoiled principalities and powers, it says he disarmed them, he defeated them. Some of them, it says, you know, he threw them off. Some of the translations, it says that he rid himself of all evil powers. But here's the thing. He made a show of them where? Openly, but where? In hell. He made a show of them in hell. In front of them. And so it says here that one of the things that I find exciting is all the principalities and powers that we wrestle with every day are the same defeated demons and devils that he made an open show of where? In hell. And we have his life that defeated them in us. So we need not let him defeat us in life. We need not let the devil defeat you in life. He's already been defeated in his own domain. So Satan has no authority to do what? Dominate the Christian or the church. He's been defeated. And so here, this is a scripture I wanted to look at. It was in Colossians 2:14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. He took it, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So all these things that were against us, the ordinances, or the some of the translations say all of the Mosaic law, the things that we missed the things that we sinned and transgressed, all of that was what? Blotted out. It was eradicated like it never existed. So there's no debt to pay. We have no debt to pay. The only debt we have is to serve Him. And we do it out of love and gratitude. And so this resurrection is exciting to me because our debt has been paid. Our sins have been paid for. Our sicknesses and diseases have been paid for. You know, when you think about it, sickness and disease is really nothing more than the fruit of sin. And so, if sin has been paid for, sickness has been paid for. And disease. He blotted it out. Some of the translations in Colossians, it says, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. So we had a legal indebtedness because of sin. And so it's been paid for. And righteousness has been set to our account, every man's account. That's why we need not go and condemn people, because their sin has been paid for. Amen. So this life that we have, one thing that's exciting about resurrection, well, there's a number of things. But not only did He take our sin and sickness and paid this indebtedness, but He's redeemed us, what, on legal grounds, giving eternal life to man. He was the firstborn from the dead. And He did what? He's the head of the new creation. He rose from the dead. He gave mankind what? A new kind of love. So some of the things that we've been talking about where the love of God is concerned, where we struggle in life, some of these things, the flesh has not been redeemed. It's mortal. And this flesh is going to struggle against the things of God. But God has given us an ability to overcome them by how? The life of Christ. If you just look at Romans 8, let's look there for a moment. Look at Romans 8. And it talks about in verse 3, it says, God sending His own sin in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, He did what? He condemned sin in the flesh. And then it goes on and talks about being carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. But he comes down to verse 10, he said, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now he's talking about our spirit here. But he said here, but if the spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your what? Your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Quicken means to make alive, to give life to. So this body cannot dominate the life of Christ. It has to submit to it. And so this is the exciting thing, that God has made it available for us with His life in us to overcome this mortality, this mortal flesh as we walk. Doesn't mean we're going to live forever, but it does mean that it can't have the upper hand as we walk through life. It means that we can love people with the God kind of love. Yes, it means that we can walk in love. Yes, sir. And not have selfishness rule. Amen. And reign in our lives. Because the mortal body, the mortality of this flesh, is selfish. And it wants what it wants. But God has given us the ability to put this selfishness down. Put anger and hatred and envy and all of these works of the flesh that want to rise up. You know how it is. You want to give your piece of 2 cents to somebody. You can just drive for 5 minutes on the road and you experience it. You know, I said it's very interesting how there's you know, I call it road courtesy. There's very little of it anymore. It's just amazing. But resurrection also assures us of our resurrection. What does the scripture say? It says here, but now is Christ risen from the dead. This is 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 19, it says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. What's he leading up to here? Then he continues and says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So this has secured those that sleep when he returns. Those that sleep shall rise first, and then those that are alive shall follow. So he's the first fruit of our resurrection. So this resurrection life secured not only my salvation and my ability to walk as a victor and a conqueror in him in this earth, but it secured my resurrection. Isn't that exciting? Because that's what the scripture says here. If it was just, if in this life only we had hope in Christ, we'd be most miserable. That would be the end of it. But in Christ, because he rose from the dead, we shall also. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he was justified in the Spirit. One of the things I like is the scripture in Romans chapter 4. If you turn over there for a moment, he said that he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. That's the King James. But the New King James, it says, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. So when sin was paid for, he was released. And he was raised, and the scripture also says we were raised. And so this is the exciting thing to me, that there's no problem that mankind has. There's no solution for the human problem, I could say, outside of the resurrection. So all of the problems that we see in society, the solution is the preaching of the gospel. Every problem that we see in society, all of it, the hatred, the wars, the anger, the racial tensions, the selfishness, the biting, the all of it, all of that is solved in the recreated new heart. It's in the resurrection. And that's what we're to do. We're to go and preach the gospel, share the good news, share your testimony of what God did for you. What did he do in your life? And so this redemption has secured our salvation. It's secured our freedom and deliverance from the devil, deliverance from darkness, and what? Translated, we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So now we walk as new creatures in Christ. I'll tell you, I don't know how you can be complacent about it. I'll tell you, I wake up every morning thanking God. There's a knowing in me. I don't care how tired my body gets. There's a knowing in me. I sometimes reflect on where I was and the mess I was and going to hell without hope, frustrated, didn't know why I was here. And the moment we accepted Christ, what does it say? This life lighteth every man. And I'm guaranteeing, for me, when he came in and took residence, I knew my purpose. I began to know it. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the what? The victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Who is he that overcometh? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Believing in this resurrection life. Believing that he took my sins to hell. Believing that he's now the Master, the Savior of the world. And that I've accepted him now. And because of that, his overcoming power, his eternal life has come in me. And I overcome. Isn't that exciting news? I think it's exciting. So when you think about, sometimes you get the picture. Let's go over just for a moment. Let's look at Matthew, because it's in every gospel. But let's just take a look at Matthew 28. You know, how would you like to have walked with Jesus? I know some of us said, yeah, I would. But if you walked for him for those three and a half years, broke bread, had him share his heart, share the Father's heart with you, and then all of a sudden, he's taken from you. He's crucified. All the things that you thought were going to be. Think about it. These disciples weren't born again. They didn't have God's life in them. And so they didn't really understand even the words that he was sharing. And sharing with them that he would have to be handed over to the determinate council and be crucified. But he would be raised from the dead. But look here in Matthew 28. It says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. You know that word great, when you look it up, it says mega. It means it was a mega earthquake. I don't know what mega is, but it was big. It was gigunda. I don't know. How do you say it in Spanish? Grande, yeah, grande. Grande earthquake, right? Right. For what? The angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. They write accounts that this stone was so big, they wanted to make sure that it was big enough that it was not going to be moved. Because they didn't want this getting out that the disciples stole the body. So they put a stone big enough that nobody was moving it. And it took what? This says here, the angel of the Lord descended and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and then he sat on it. So I don't know how big this angel was, and he may have sat on it like a little chair. He may have been a mega angel, right? We don't know how big he was, but he sat on it. And then it says, his countenance was what? Like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. Now you think about it. His whole posse did what? Jesus' posse took off. They were nowhere to be found. Right? Think about that. And then it says, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake. I guess you would. See, because remember, there's really no account. This had to have happened from somewhere on their Sabbath till early Sunday morning. But there's no record or account of who actually was there. We know that there were some Roman guards. That's what they're talking about, the keepers. And they did what? They took off. It says here, they feared and shake and became as what? Dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples, yeah, the ones that took off, that he is what? Risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, and lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. Now let's go over there. I just wanted to look at Luke 24. And you can see each account, if you look at it, it's in the first verse, it says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, so we know it was early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre bringing spices, which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, I guess you would be, thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Now, how would you like to walk into a sepulchre and then all of a sudden you look and there's two angels standing there? And it says here, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they, the angels, said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And what? They remembered his words. See, they didn't really have a clue. They heard it, but they didn't understand it. And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. And then, of course, it says Peter got up and came. But when it talks about their words seem to be as idle tales, it talks about being them confused and perplexed. You would be. If now you had traveled with Jesus, he's crucified, and now all of a sudden the things that he shared have come to pass, and now you've got angels standing next to you. This huge angel is sitting on a stone that's rolled away. I guess some of us might be a little dazed, and I don't know. And you're running, telling this, and it says that they were just, you know, perplexed. You'd be, you know, they'd say, "What's wrong with you? What? Say what? 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 What are you saying?" Some of us get a bill and we do that. (laughs) But think about the master that you traveled with, that you'd seen heal the blind, raise Lazarus from the dead, heal the lepers, cast out demons. And now he's gone, but now he's risen. I'll tell you, that excites the heart, but they were a little dazed and perplexed. But it says they went and with joy they brought it. But they were, that's why sometimes reading different accounts, the Holy Spirit inspired the writers a little differently. It's not confused. God's not confused. The Word's not confused. It just gives us a different view from that writer. But we can see here that this Jesus that was raised from the dead, as we shared, is coming back again. He's coming back again. And it shall come to pass, just like he said, I shall be delivered into the hands of sinful men and suffer and be crucified, but I will rise again. In the same way, he said, I'm coming back again. So for all of us, it's a time to reflect on this resurrection. Where are we? You know, I shared that last week. He came, he knew who he was, and he knew why he came. The question for us is, do you know who you are? Do you know why you're here? You know, I remember a time when I worked for a company, and I had a team of programmers that worked for me, underneath me. And I remember years after this person left the job, he called me. He was a character. And he always kind of made fun of my Christianity. So when he called me, he called the office and he wanted to speak to me. And the minute he says, hey, it's Jimmy. And I said, yes. Because I had no idea what was next. And he began to say, said to me, I'm like you now. And I said, yes. What does that mean? Because I had no idea what was coming next. But he said, no. He said, I'm like you. He said, I'm born again. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, and he started to talk to me, and he said to me, he said, Ed, he said, it's like a veil, a cloud was lifted from my eyes. He said, I now know my purpose in life. And so that's the key. Do you know who you are, and do you know your purpose here? It isn't just to have a J-O-B, get married and have kids and buy a house or car or whatever, or boat or whatever it is that you like. It isn't about getting stuff. Amen. It's about a relationship with the one that secured it for us. He paid for our sins so that he's now the mediator between God and man. So now, God, who was unapproachable, is now approachable. He's our master. He's our God. And so now we can go through life not defeated. Isn't that exciting? I think it's exciting. Because all you have to do is go into a store and look in people's face and you can see they're defeated. They talk it to you. Anybody you interact with, they'll talk about how this, you know, well, people say, I'm in the struggle. I say, not me. I'm an overcomer. He that's in Christ is an overcomer. Where? In this world. You don't have to preach to people, give them chapter and verse, just share with them, look, I was defeated before I knew God and knew his son, but now I'm not defeated. And they'll say, well, what does that mean? And you give them your testimony. Yep. Share with them the love of God. It's the love of God that propelled and sent his son here to die for our sins so that we could have eternal life. And so that's what, to me, resurrection is about Jesus coming and defeating the devil. And as it says in Revelation, what does it say? I am he that was dead, and I am alive forevermore. And what does it say? He holds the keys of hell and of death. So now, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And he holds the keys of what? Hell and of death. And so that means that that authority has been given to who? Us. So that authority over hell and the grave and death has been given to the church. So that's something that we should never take for granted, that we go through life. You know, I've experienced a few things. I'm sure you have too. But I'll tell you, demons tremble at the name of Jesus, because he made an open show of them publicly in their own domain. When sin was paid for, it says he stripped off the ropes or the things that bound him and was raised from the dead. And he took the trophies. What trophy? Hell and death. And now we can walk with this authority and dominion in Christ. Amen. Glory to God. So I'm excited about that. Are you? Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. So as we go forth today, just keep that in your heart. He's alive. He's real. He lives in you. And the things that you face, be it unto you according to your faith. This resurrection life that's in you overcomes everything that's associated with hell and death. Death what? Sickness, disease, poverty, all the things that are associated or the fruits of death have been overcome. And so for us, we are what? Overcomers in Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So as we close today, if you're here and you're maybe have not made a decision, maybe you've known about it, you've heard it, but today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that the Lord has made, and he's extending this gift to you. This is something that's been paid for. All you have to do is do what? Say, I believe, and receive it. You believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus was raised from the dead. He's the Lord. And when you believe that and say that and confess it and accept it in your heart, then that's what it says, you shall be saved. So when you believe that, and every man will have to give an account.